We'll try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you are awake. Okay. Well, it's a good day to be awake. This is the day the Lord has made, and we as a church, the body of Christ, have been called to come and rejoice and to be glad in it. And so from what I can see, our baptismal candidates have obviously convinced you to come and rejoice in the Lord and come and hear what they've got to say in terms of how God has been leading them and directing them in their lives. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to John's Gospel in the fourth chapter. Now, many of you would be familiar with John chapter 3, where the Lord Jesus spoke to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. After having spoken with Nicodemus, Jesus' ministry began to grow. And people were coming to understand that he was the Messiah. And we read there, just in those first few verses of John chapter 4. In fact, he and his disciples were baptizing. We'll talk a little more about that. Let's just read verses 1 to 15. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. And so sometimes you may be wondering why it is that we might permit others to be baptizing their children and so on. It's because we believe that we're really all just normal human beings, and it's a privilege for parents to be actively involved. But you can see that the disciples were involved in baptizing. They were not necessarily ordained ministers. They didn't have degrees. They're just normal, everyday people who had a great love for the Lord. It says there, verse 3, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." If you've read the story before, undoubtedly you're familiar with it. But if you haven't heard it before, and maybe it's the first time, you may be wondering, what is this about drinking water and receiving eternal life? Is that what's going to happen? These kids are going to get in the tank, drink a little water, and they're going to have eternal life? No, that's not it. Not even maybe. Obviously, the Lord Jesus was speaking figuratively and using the metaphor of water. Water brings life. And of course, the waters of baptism speak of a life that has surrendered to the understanding of who Jesus is, having been persuaded, placed their trust in Christ, and in obedience to him, identify with who he is as a Messiah. What is eternal life? It's more than simply going to heaven when you die. It's more than just simply living forever. Eternal life is that quality of life that one experiences today with the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God. It is with that understanding that a Savior gave his life so that we, in turn, would be granted life. And so I pray that this morning, as our young people share their testimonies, that you'll hear a little bit about what took place in their lives, that you would be drawn to the story, and like the woman at the well, that you would want to drink of the water that gives eternal life so that you won't thirst anymore. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to have our young people come and share their testimonies, and then afterwards we're going to have the worship team come up and lead in some more music, and then we're going to go down, we're going to change, and you're going to do a little bit of singing, and then we're going to come up and we're going to bring our young people through the waters of baptism. This time I'm going to call upon Eric to come and share his testimony. Eric met with us as elders. Come on up, Eric. Met with us as elders, and we were delighted to hear what God has been doing and how the Lord's been working in his heart. So, Eric, may the Lord bless you as you share your testimony with us this morning.
Good morning. My name is Eric Richter. I was born in Germany on September 9th, 1997. I grew up in a Christian home with the best parents ever. They read and still read the Bible with me. They prayed and still pray with me. They brought me to church and still do. And my mom still makes the best school lunches. When I was younger, I was rarely bored. Whether it was finding the greatest hiding spots, I stayed in the washing machine undiscovered for nearly a day, or learning hand-to-hand combat using my cat as my fighting partner. It turned hand to claw pretty quickly. Not my brightest idea. I always had something to do. We also had a computer. Fallsfield. Anyways, when I was about 6 years old, my family and I said goodbye to Germany and flew to Canada, also known as hockey country, as I soon found out. I think one of my first English words was hockey, since that was something I heard too often. Yeah, English wasn't all too hard to learn, considering the amount of time I spent in school. I did, of course, not know the language very well until a couple months went by. I remember when I would talk to teachers and they would start straight out laughing when they heard me trying to speak English. Or they would try very hard not to laugh, which usually resulted in them straight out laughing also. I did make it through grade one, however, and by the end, I almost sounded like a Canadian. Almost. Well, I kept getting older and growing, then getting older and not growing. Finding out at the same time that being a Christian isn't easy. I always believed I was a Christian, but one day someone asked me, if Jesus came today, would I go to heaven with him or not? That scared me, although I knew that if I don't believe, I would be eternally separated from God as a punishment caused by my unbelief. I wasn't so sure if I believed or not, because I had a problem with not having assurance. Every night I would ask God to forgive my sins, and I asked him to come to my heart, as I would say. I always tried to feel changed, or like I was going to be a way better, nicer person than I used to be. Finally, it clicked that even the most perfect Christian is far from perfect. I realized that I will always fall short of God's standards. But by recognizing that I'm a sinner, and recognizing that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to take the penalty for my sinfulness, by dying on the cross for me, and to rise from the dead on the third day, then I'm saved from eternal separation from God. I learned that I cannot lose my salvation. I now trust Christ as my personal Savior and have assurance of it. 1 John 5, verses 10 to 13 say, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Also, I learned that God wasn't just going to change me as soon as I put my trust in him. I will still do wrong things. I will still have struggles. It was my decision to become the person he wants me to be. I also realized that I don't have to wait until I can be drive or be able to go to big people places to tell people about God there, like I thought when I was younger. God can use me now, an imperfect teenager. It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in faith, and in purity. I want to live like that, to live for God.
Thank you very much, Eric. Very encouraging. And that's really what we discover as we work with the children, the young people of our local church, as they're teachable, as moms and dads, as Eric attested to us, share the Word of God, walk faithfully with them. They can grow, they can mature. And so we praise the Lord for your family, Eric. I'm going to call upon Becca at this time to come and share her testimony with us, and she's also going to share a song with us after that.
Hello. My name is Becca. Okay. I don't remember much about when or how I accepted Christ, but I know it was sometime during family devotions when I was quite young. I came to understand that I was a sinner and that punishment for sin was death, that although Jesus had been sinless, he died so that I could go to be in heaven with him someday. I then prayed and asked the Lord to give me eternal life with him. But ever since I was younger, I've been afraid. Not afraid for my safety necessarily, but just afraid. Afraid that I won't succeed, that I'll fail, and sometimes when failure seems to be a large possibility, afraid to try. My fear started when I was quite young, as a very easygoing contentment. At first, my parents thought I was an answer to prayer, after the relentless curiosity of my older brother, Steve. But when we got to the potty training years, they realized my contentedness may pose more of an issue than they expected, seeing as I was quite happy to sit and play in even the most uncomfortable situations. Then, when it was time to learn to ride a bike, I decided I didn't really mind my training wheels, especially after some painful encounters with the pavement. I was happy to have my parents run beside me up and down the street, holding onto my bike and going faster than I ever could with my training wheels. Of course, my parents got tired of that pretty fast, and eventually I realized being an 8-year-old with training wheels was a little embarrassing, so I became motivated to learn. As Steve and I switched from private school to public school, I continued to be scared of what, or well, worried of what people would think of me, and ended up spending a lot of my days at home pretending to be sick so I wouldn't have to participate in the school activities that I was unsure about. I was shy and a bit insecure and unwilling to step out of my comfort zone. I continued this behavior throughout the next couple of years as I was learning to skate. I had this idea in my head that how good a skater you were depended on how many times you fell. I would go to the public skating arena and cling to the boards and the entire time, happily watching as everyone else flew by me. But when I got home, I would brag about how my cousin Jasmine fell more times than I did. I completely disregarded the fact that while I clung to the boards not falling, I was also not learning to gain speed and become a stronger skater. In skating, I now have coaches to instruct me in how to succeed, but I can't follow those instructions if I'm clinging to the boards. I have to step out of my comfort zone, trust my coaches, and follow their instructions. God is like my spiritual coach, and he has left instructions and instructors to help me through life, and although sometimes I fall and the instructions are painful or difficult, I want to get up and keep going so I can become stronger and better at following his instructions. Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift my soul." I realize that it will often be difficult, and I will definitely have my share of mess-ups, but I don't want to hold onto the boards anymore. I want to take a risk and follow his instructions, even when they are difficult, because I know although words can be extremely powerful, the most powerful testimony is a godly life. I want to live for him so that when I see him face to face, I can anticipate hearing the words, "Well done." The song I'm going to sing is by Mariah Peters, a woman who tried out for American Idol. She was very open about her faith and her beliefs about her about purity in all her interviews with the judges. But when it came time to pick people to be on the show, they told her she had a beautiful voice and a beautiful look, but she was trying too hard to be perfect. They told her to go into the world and make some mistakes and then come back. But she stayed strong and refused to compromise, and so she was unable to be on the show. Less than a year later, she got signed and is now writing songs about her faith. I think her story is a great example of how God can work in our lives, especially when we are willing to live by his standards instead of the world's. The Bible says we are to be imitators of Christ, and Luke 9:23 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So I find that her story and this song encourage us to do just that.
Thank you, Becca. Again, Becca is a living testimony of parents doing their part in raising their children, and it's a lot of work raising kids. Sorry, kids, just is. In fact, us parents, we were all kids one time, and your grandparents will tell you it was a lot of work. So anyway, we're delighted. I don't know if you caught in her testimony, but of course, Becca seems to have overcome at least some measure of insecurity. she was able to sing that song in front of us, and just a delightful song. Appreciate that. I'm going to call upon Kevin at this time to come and share his testimony.
Good morning. As most of you already know, my name is Kevin. Before I received Christ as my personal Savior, I lived like any other boy who liked hanging out with neighbors and play all sorts of sports. My parents usually told me about Christ and what he did for me and the world, but questions kept piling up in my mind. How do I believe and what will happen if I don't believe in Christ? Me and my dad, we did lots of traveling and working, so we usually have long but interesting conversations about Christ, which I like talking about, and about the penalty of sin, which I didn't like talking about. My mom read us Bible stories and reminded us to pray before going into bed. As I slowly fell asleep, I thought about life after death and thought, I don't want to go to that horrible place, and so I asked God for forgiveness and to live within my heart. After I received Christ as my personal Savior, I tried to follow his word and his teachings of how to treat others and my family. I also have a very close relationship with God now that I received Christ as my personal Savior. My favorite verses in the Bible are John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And the verses in Romans 10:9-11, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.
So you and your dad actually talked. I'd hardly ever hear your dad say a word. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in the second chapter. One of the things that has resonated through the testimonies of these young people is that each of them has understood that, one, they're sinful. The Apostle Paul was writing to some people who lived in a city called Ephesus. They too understood the grace of God and realized that they were in need of a Savior. And so the Apostle Paul wrote them a letter and repeated some things that he had taught them, some things that they knew and realized. And we're just going to read that passage. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you lived when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so these young people have expressed their love for the Lord. We have another baptismal candidate this morning. His name is Toby Franz. He won't be sharing his testimony, but has a deep love for the Lord. And he too, raised in a godly home, has been told what the scriptures teach, and has come to understand the grace of God. And so at this time, I'm going to call upon the baptismal candidates. We're just going to leave the room at this time. I'm going to call the worship team back up, and we're going to go and change, and we'll be back in a few moments. Kevin, you are a friendly giant. Kevin, it's been a delight to have seen you grow in your understanding of God's grace. And it's been a delight to get to know your family And I know you have some aunts and uncles and friends here today. And I pray that your life will have encouraged their lives to walk more closely with the Savior. I'm going to ask you to just step forward a little further. Right there is good. Being so tall, we might have to step out and I'll have to throw them in. Kevin, just a few questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ not only died for you, but grants you eternal life by virtue of your faith in him?
Yes.
You understand that this is life that God has granted you is by his grace and is life that can never be lost?
Yes.
Based upon your confession of faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just don't start without me. Good to you this morning?
I think so.
You think so? I told you I'd ask you a tough question, right? Now, let's find out if he was, right? Yeah. Were you good to Toby this morning? That's good. Certainly a special day, isn't it, to see your brother growing up as a young man, walking by faith. Isn't that right, Lynn? To see him determined to live for the Savior. Toby, it's an encouragement to see you maturing in your understanding of God's grace. Just a couple of questions. Do you believe that Christ died for you and in so rising has granted you eternal life by virtue of your faith in him?
Yes.
Do you believe that this life is life that can never be lost because it is life that God guarantees?
Yes.
Based upon your confession of faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father and daughter in our baptismal tank, and it's nice to see a father willing to walk with his daughter and to baptize her. And so, Becca, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. And I'm going to let your dad let you have it. Becca, I know that you love the Lord. And as you saw Stephen baptized as well, you know that he too has a great love for the Lord. Isn't it great to have a brother who's walking by faith?
Yes, it is.
And it's great to have mom and a number of your family here, aunts and uncles and cousins, who also are can see the testimony of the love of God in your life. You also have some friends here, too, today. And so I know you've been praying that God would use your life, and even as you sung this song, it was very, very clear that, yeah, you're gonna run after your Savior. That's great. Becca, just a few questions. Do you believe that Jesus died according to the Scriptures and rose again, and that in so doing, he grants eternal life to all those who place their faith in him?
I do.
Do you believe that this life, called eternal life, is not just simply going to heaven when you die, but it is forever life that is guaranteed by virtue of his death and resurrection?
Yes, I do.
Ben, I'm going to get behind you, buddy. Your dad's going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing Eric's last. He actually looks up to me. You can't stay in here very long, sorry.
Not too bad.
Pretty warm. Eric, your testimony, you remember when we first started thinking about these baptismal classes, and you're maybe wondering about whether this would be the time or not. Of course, you remember as we read Acts chapter 8 last week, and we were reading about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he had heard the truth of God's grace, and Philip explained the truth to him, and that's sort of what we did in a baptismal class, wasn't it? Explain really what baptism's all about and the whole purpose of why you would walk through the waters of baptism. Eric, it's a delight to see your maturity. It's good to hear that you can say hockey. Yeah. It was one of maybe my first words too. But what's even more amazing than moving to Canada is to come to understand the grace and the love of God. and your family, friends, aunts and uncles who are here today are walking with you. They're praying for you. And you today undoubtedly are an encouragement to them. And so may the Lord bless you and give you strength as you continue to walk by faith. Eric, just a couple of questions for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, in giving of his life, has granted you eternal life by virtue of your faith in him?
Yes.
Do you believe that this life is a life that can never be lost?
Yes.
Based upon your confession of faith, we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right. Thank you, worship team. And we trust that all of you have been encouraged by what you've seen here this morning and the baptisms. And as these young people come forward and share their testimonies, it's such an encouraging thing to see. And for us as a church family now, it's our responsibility to continue to encourage them as they go on their road to following Christ. You know, it's one thing to have this day and experience this baptism, but now we as a church family need to come around and help them on their way as they seek to follow Christ. And that's something that none of us can do on our own, and that's why we have a church family, so that we can encourage one another. And that's why we're encouraged by the writer of the Hebrews not to give up the habit of meeting together, but to continue to meet together and to encourage one another, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and all the more as we see that day approaching. So I'm going to ask Mike to come up, and all the baptismal candidates, if you could come back up here, please, and the parents, so that we could have a closing prayer together with you.
It takes a community to raise a child. That means that each of you who have been invited here have been asked in the raising of these young people. You sort of say, well, what is one thing that I might be able to do to encourage this young person to continue to walk in keeping with their profession, their desire? Well, the one thing that you can do is to walk with the Lord yourself. Faithfully. And sort of say, well, I understand that's what I need to do, but I understand that that can be pretty challenging from day to day. Well, that's why we need each other. That's why the church is made up of different people, different places in their understanding. And so these parents have made a commitment to raising their children in a godly way. Probably at some point in time, each of them had possibly had a child dedication service for their children, prayed with them, shared the gospel with them, helped them understand some of the things that they're going to face as they went into the adolescent years, some more of the challenges that they're going to face as they go into the workforce and so on. These are the things that we as parents have a responsibility to do. And of course, the rest of us, we too need to pray for these parents as they seek to raise and nurture their children. Just going to have a closing word of prayer with them, and it's great to see you here this morning. You're an encouragement to all of us. Let's pray together. Lord, once again, we thank you for each family represented here this morning in support of our baptismal candidates. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard. We thank you for the interviews that we as elders were able to have with them. We thank you as well for those last week who also walked through the waters of baptism and who are going on to just serve you and walk by faith. We pray in particular for these candidates and their parents. Pray that you'll grant the parents ongoing wisdom and strength. For these young people, just an ongoing desire to honor you with their lives, to be faithful to the things that they already know, to trust you implicitly with all the choices that they need to make. to seek you prayerfully. And so we pray, Lord, that we too, as we walk with them, would intercede, pray on their behalf so that they might mature, that we would also express words of encouragement and spend time with them and, yes, pray for them. And so thank you for our fellowship here together. Thank you for these families. Thank you for those who are here in support. Thank you for these candidates again, and may you bless them as they continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake and make sure that you greet our baptismal candidates. You're welcome to stay with us. We have a potluck lunch downstairs. And from what I can smell, it's going to be good. And there's lots of seating, so please join us.